Okay, so let's what we're gonna do now is a new topic. It's in a Gemara which the Rosh tries to explain. Okay. And I guess we'll read the Gemara and we'll try to explain it. I'll try to see what the Rosh says. So it's if you have it in the book, it's the Masara of Cook, it's on page Yirchas. Page Yirchas. That's in the top corner, it should say Yirchas, not the bottom. The bottom is like the intro or whatever. Okay, page Yirchas. Okay, so the Gemara says like this: Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishum Yechai. Miyom Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Esolamo Lo Ba Adam Shekaru Adam. From the time that God created the world, there was not a no one came who called God Adon, like Adni, like Adon, Lashon of Adon, like we pronounce. Adon means master. No one called God master. Ad Sheba Avram Avinu Vekaru Adon. Until Avram Avinu came, and he called him an Adon. Shneamar Adni is the way you say it, and so you don't want to say Adon, you know. So you say Adni, so I'm going to say Adni. I mean, that's just the way we say it, so you don't say Hashem Hashem. So Adni Elokim v'ma'ida ki Roshana. So he said the Lashon of Adni. Okay, but no one before Avraham called God an Adon, a master. Okay? Amarav. So that's the first part of the Gemara. Okay, so what does that mean? That no one called him, who cares what you call him? Like, what's the import of saying that no one called him Adni before Avram Avinu? What did they call him? And what's the significance of what do you call Hashem?
Well, also, what did, like, Noach or Adam call?
Yeah, right, that's a good question. Right, I know, what did they call him? That's a good question. It's not clear. Elohim, maybe? I don't know. That's part of the question. You're right. They did recognize God, so they didn't know he was a master? Like, what is that? What does it mean? Right? I mean, that's what the Rosh is going to try to explain, but that's what the Gemara says. Okay? Then it says, Amarav, Af Daniel lo ne'ana el b'shvil Avram. So Daniel was mispalel to God, and he was only answered because of Avram. Okay? Shenema, Ve'ata shmai elokeinu al tefilas avdecha, ve'el tachnunav. God, please listen to the tefillah of your servant, Daniel talking about himself, and do his tachanunim, his supplications, and turn your face, whatever, so to speak, towards the mikdash, which is destroyed, leman adni, okay, leman adni. So it says leman cha mi bayla. So Gemara says it should have said leman cha. He's talking to God, so it should have just said, return, you know, save the base of mikdash, bring back the base of mikdash, leman cha, for your sake. Why is he saying leman adni if he's talking to Hashem himself? He's talking to Hashem. He doesn't have to say, he doesn't have to address God like in the third person, leman adni. So it says, Ela leman Avraham shekaracha adni. So it says, so the reason why it says leman adni is saying is that it's a reference that it's because of Avraham, leman adni, because of the one who called you adni, because of Avraham. So he's making a reference to the idea of adni which Avraham Avinu was, expressed. Okay, and then that was Daniel's tefillah that God should rebuild the base makers because of that. Okay, so that's like a further point in the Gemara. So the first point, we can't possibly understand the second part of the Gemara until we understand the first part. Right, the first part is saying, Avinu was the first one to call God Adni. Then, once you have that, Daniel davened and was answered because he made reference to that idea somehow. Okay, that's basically the Gemara. Okay? Okay. So I think in a Gemara like this I think we should just read the Rashba. Okay, you can try to guess or whatever, but it's like a hard, you get a sense. Like the other one was a little easier. If you daven, you set places when you daven, it was kind of like a little easier to even approach. Here it's about the names of God, and what does it mean that they're calling? It's just like a hard type of a thing. So I think what I want to do, I want to just like read the Rashba who explains it, and let's see see if we can decode and figure out what he's saying. Okay? Okay. Any comments or any other comments or questions?
Well, just a comment.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. Okay, so about like Avram being the first person to, like, I know you want to read the Rosh, but kind of.
No, go ahead. Don't worry about it.
About like Avram being the first person to call like a master. He was the first person to relate to God and listen to God. Like,
to well.
Because
yeah,
yes, like Adam and Noah, they did recognize God as a god, but they didn't follow orders and follow blindly the way Avram did. Like Avram, you know, like Kegitzchak and Bashem Asar.
Right, but Noach built the table.
And like Adam was supposed to listen to Nadi. from the tree. Like, they had stuff that they had to do.
But they didn't, like, they didn't follow God the way, like, a servant follows a master kind of thing.
Oh, I understand.
So that could
he did have six mitzvahs. Like, they say there were the seven mitzvahs of Noach, and the six of them were commanded to Adam Rishon, so they had mitzvahs.
Which one wasn't commanded to
him? Till Noach? Which of the seventh? Efer Menachai. Because Adam was not to eat meat. Only after the marble of meat became permitted, but God said you could eat meat, but you can't eat Efer Menachai. So they did have mitzvahs, right? So in a certain sense, and Noach built the teva for however many years, 120 years or whatever. I mean, that's pretty serious.
I don't know, I just like feel like they're different, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Why is it important for Torah Sheva'al Peh to point out what Avraham called God? Like, why does it even need to mention that?
Okay.
Isn't it more important that he, you know, was... he had the proper perspective on
mm-hmm.
what he was supposed to do in terms of serving God,
right.
rather than,
right.
you know, is it relevant to
right.
future generations to mention
right.
that?
What do you call him?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So for that, I think, I mean, we have to get into the particulars, but I think in general, when we talk about names of God, like, what does it mean God has different names?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that, like, nicknames? Like, what does that even mean, right? So I think, in general, it means, without getting into particulars, is there are different ideas that we know about God. And what you call him is you're referencing a certain concept, a certain idea. Like I say, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Amidas Rachamim, and Elokim is that God is Amidas Adin. And Adni is somehow or less we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and different name. Kael refers to God as the strength and the source of, you know, might. So the different midos, so to speak, different ideas which man can have about God, which are referenced by different names. So when we say that he called him that, on a simple level, without getting into the particulars, it's relevant to us because it means he discovered a certain idea or he was involved in studying or thinking about a certain idea about God. You know what I mean? So that's what it means that he called him that. You know what I mean? Which is, I think, important to actually get into what you're saying. Is like it seems to be is more in the idea that got what he called him, not in the way that he... The simplest way to read it. You could read different ways, but the simplest way to read it is that he like called him that. It means like he exclaimed an idea, maybe taught an idea, you know, and that's why it would be relevant. Not necessarily that he listened to God in a certain way or whatever, but more a matter of what that he discovered an idea, thought of an idea, taught an idea, something like that. Like, I would think the name is a reference to some concept, some idea about God, which he was, you know. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good question, though. Good question. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay. So let's see. So now the Rashba talks like this. He says, Kvar Yadata, you already know, Shahib Me Avraham, the Kodem Lo, that in the days of Avraham and prior to Avraham's day, Ovdim Leruchaniyim, they were people who worshipped spirits. The Osim Atzalamim, and they made idols. Havinim Shachim Bechal Ma'iseim Achar Malachas HaShamayim Ve'etztaniginios. Etztaniginios. And they drew all their actions after the studying the heavens and astrology, right? Astrology. That was like a big thing about back then. They were the sky, the stars, worshipping the spirits. There were idols made to the gods of the stars and the heavens and all that stuff. Okay, that was a big thing back in the day. Okay, still a small thing nowadays, but that was a big thing back then, you know? Vikinyan Zamrus Shamruzal Shasarv Avram Salme Aviv. Like they say, that Avram broke the statues of his father, right? Chazal say he broke, smashed the idols of his father. The appeal of Nimrod Kiv Shanaish. And Nimrod the king threw him into the fiery furnace. Right? So he's just showing people were very into this type of idol worship, star worship, that type of thing. And they were drawn after the false ideas, false belief system. Right? It wasn't just a certain manner of worship, but there's a belief system about stars and all the astrology and all that stuff. Until Avram proved them, showed them, disproved them, umalamdam, and he taught them, umegairam, and he converted them to his path. Okay, to his path. Amram Zal, Avram Megayras HaAnashim, Esar Megayras HaAnashim, Avram would convert the man, and Sarah would convert the woman. Okay, so that was what they were doing. They were involved in, basically, the world was involved in this corrupt ideas, corrupt idol worship, astrology. And Avram and Sarah went around, and they were teaching them true ideas.
Okay. It just occurred to me that it's really lucky that he found Sarah as a wife, you know? Like,
sure.
Somebody who had the same perspective as him.
Well, it's not clear. It's a good question if she had it all coming in, or he taught her and she was a very good student, you know? Because it seems like he discovered God. It seems like the world at large, at least the Raman paints it, is like the world at large was idol worshippers, and Avram Avinu from a young age started thinking about this. He was 3 years old, so realizing this is crazy, something's going on, and 40 years he like this, that he really fully, you know, came to his. So it doesn't seem like Sarah is described as an original, you know, innovator in that regard. So I would think, I don't know, I've never really considered this before, but I would think she was one of his original students or something like that, you know what I mean?
She was his niece.
She was his niece, yes.
Yes. She grew up.
Come on in.
Watching, she grew up.
So, I'm fine. So now it says like this. So this is what, that's what happened. So Avram Sar used to convert all the people, teach them good ideas. So now it says like this. So Be'emes Kiyesh Mazal Soshmaim Shelton Ba'olam. And in truth, and this is their science. Okay, well, we'll see. I think the Rashba had a certain science, and I think we'll have to modernize it a little bit. But I'm gonna translate what he says, and then we'll see if we can modernize it. But he says, and in truth, the mazalos, so the heavens, the stars, do have a control over this world. Ad sheyeha adam b'mazalo asher odal. In other words, a person could have in his stars or in his whatever it is, in his mazal, to be rich or poor. Marach yamim ha'avcho, to live long or short. Molid o'akar, to be barren or to have kids. Bilti im yatem mazalo letzar achar mitoch ma'asav. Unless he could turn his mazel, which mazel means like his fate, his whatever, I'm going to call it mazel, but unless he could turn his mazel to a different path through his actions. Okay? So he's saying, the way he held it, there was some sort of mazel out there, some sort of determination about, you know, whether a guy is going to be so-and-so, rich or poor or whatever it is, which a person is under, unless through doing certain actions, you could, through being a tzaddik or through whatever, you could rise above the mazel and you could have, you know, have a different fate. Something, a different thing happened to you. Okay, let me read a little further. But Avram Yikoch Mazalo, and Avram, from his mazel itself, Eino Roy L'Holad. He wasn't going to have kids. That was his fate. Zulasi shenis gaber, but for the fact that he was strong, v'yatsa mitachas marachas agochavim, and he rose above the stars, the rule of the stars, v'nis ala b'maisav, and he raised himself up through his actions, v'nidvak l'sibah aliona, Hashem yisparach, shivadon hakol, and he clung to the ultimate cause of all causes, which is God, who's the master of all. And since he did that, the stars and whatever forces that be could not prevent him from having kids because he was related to God. So let me pause there. Yeah. This is before he had any kids. Avram, you know, Hashem said, don't worry, I'll protect you. He says, yeah, but I don't have any kids, and my only kid is Eliezer, it's not going to work. So God said, he says, don't worry. He says, Eliezer's not going to be your heir, but it's going to be someone who comes from you, one of your kids. And if you go up outside and look up at the sky and the stars, and that will be as many as your children. You know. So he brought him outside, and he said, look at the Shemayim. And that's what it says, actually. It says, The Guru Rashba continues. It says, the Medrash says, "Ve'yotzei oso achutz ve'yomer habet na hashamayma." In omer habet el lamisha mabet milimayla lamata. So it says habata somehow means like you're looking down, and here it should be you're looking at the stars. It should be looking down. It says l'fishal Avram roabit stanignos she'ino molad, because Avraham saw in his astrology that he wasn't going to have any kids. Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu tseimi tsegne shechal. Go out of your astrology. Avram eino molad. Avraham molad. Avram, you are Avram. At that point, you are Avram. That's the one who, in the astrology, whatever, isn't going to have kids. But Avraham will have kids. Okay, and then somehow that's what it means. He's like looking down. He's like looking down on the astrology, I guess. That's what he says, some sort of mashal. Not physically looking down, but it means he's, you're above that. Look down on the astrology because you're above that. You're on a different level. Okay, and now he says like this. Okay, so hold off. So what's he saying? What's he talking about? I mean, what's the, could we understand what he's saying? Yeah.
Genetics, like some people have a tendency to be more
okay,
shorter lifespan, or they can't bear children.
Okay, you're more generic.
Can't know that though.
What?
Can't know that. Really.
No, not necessarily. Like, you can't know it. That's true.
When he's like explaining that, he wouldn't know about genetics.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, but in a more general sense, could we?
I haven't been exercising, so. I don't know. Just like,
how old is he?
He at that point, like, I don't know, in his 80s or something, I think. I'm not sure, actually.
I mean, because if he got to that point, he probably figured, oh, I'm just not going to have kids.
Right.
You know, like, you can tell you're getting really old, it's just not happening.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
right.
So, you're that right. Could be, like, actual, but, like, you know, you can figure out your, at least parts of your future when you're
mm-hmm.
living
right.
it.
Right. Okay, so what would you say is the modern... I mean, you're saying it's true. True. I'm not sure his age, though. That's the only problem. I'm not sure how old he was then. But what would you say is the modern counterpart to what he's saying? So what he's saying is... Or what's the idea? He's saying is that a person is... A person is...
Due to heredity and environment, they have a certain path that they were meant to take in life, but they can overcome that path.
Right.
If they choose certain actions.
Right.
So that means we actually have a path in life we're supposed to follow. Unless we don't.
Okay.
That sense that we're not bound to that path.
Like, it starts off that there is one.
Okay. So what does that mean, right? What does it mean exactly that we have a path
in life? The things that they're talking about, rich or poor, barren or with a long life or short.
Right.
These are not things like...
You have
that
control.
Value judgments on
right,
your life.
Right.
You could be a rich or poor and still be a complete
right.
tzaddik. You
right.
could be
right.
with
right.
child or without child and still be a complete tzaddik.
Right.
You can have a long life or short life and still be a complete tzaddik. So these are not things that are like... He's not saying that you're born to be a murderer, right? He's
right.
not saying that you have a fate that you're going to be a Russia.
Right.
It's saying that there are certain things that are kind of...
That's exactly the bit, like... I know that, because it's obvious, it's, you have control over yourself, but those are things that you don't have control over, I guess.
Right.
So, I mean, is it like you're just born, but like,
right.
you do have control over whether you're going to be poor or rich, at least
to
some
extent.
Sometimes.
Right, to some extent.
You know?
Like,
it's
interesting
possible.
That it says about mazalos, and it has to do with the stars, and it seems to me like a lot of the economics of that time was based in the climate.
Right.
So maybe the
right.
reason it talks about mazalos
right.
and the
this.
Elements so much
right.
is because a person could really be rich or poor
yeah,
based on the climate of the time. So
right.
they
right.
planted a crop
right. uh-huh.
and then it was completely destroyed
right.
because of the tides coming in.
Uh-huh. Right.
Then that's
right.
it.
Right.
The mazalos decided that you're going to be poor this, you know.
Right. Uh-huh.
So.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, so maybe it's just in a general sense that, just to summarize what you're saying, is that there's such a thing as laws of nature. Okay, there's such a thing as laws. Okay, God set up a world where there are laws, right? There are laws that some people, there's genetics is one, and whatever factors there are. I mean, there's tons of laws of physics and biology and all different things which determine how, and the world of science is like largely determined. Right, I mean, there's certain cause and effect, chains of cause and effect which are in place, and on a basic level, everything, in a basic level, if we're getting about like quantum or whatever, but things which are going to happen are determined. And whether you're going to have a long life or not is determined based upon different factors, and you know, your health, your genetics, your whatever the case may be. And there are a lot of factors and laws, things that happen to you, there are largely dependent upon things which are totally... laws of nature. Nothing to do with your tzaddik, your rasha, or whatever. Okay, like a person, for instance, is barren. That's just the law of nature. They're a little bit of their banner. What are you going to do? That's the way it is, yeah.
But my problem is that they said that they could figure out what it was.
That's true. Well, that's true. So that's the question is, how could you know? I mean, the question is what their science was and what our science is. It might be different. So they had a certain methods, which may or may not have been... We don't know their methods. We don't know whether they were good or they were not good. What? Well, I don't know. I mean, one thing is you could say it has to do with some sort of a scientific thing also. I mean, you say he was all a certain age. I don't know. Whatever it is. They had a certain... They must have had some sort of way of knowing certain things. It was probably not as good as science, because science has advanced over the last thousands of years.
Well,
but they whatever it is, it means...
He could have looked at the previous generations and said, well, most people, have if they're going to have children, have had it by this age, and now...
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps.
And past that age where most people will have children.
Right. Perhaps. Right, perhaps. Perhaps he had different... Whatever it is. I don't think it matters.
When he was younger, I mean... What if he was younger? Like you said, you're not sure of his age. So what if he was younger? And, I mean, sometimes they're not sure. Plus, did he or did he not live longer? And did he live the same amount?
He lives 100. So I think he died 175.
Is that more or normal?
I don't know. It's not clear. But at 99, it was the big thing to have kids.
Right?
But 99 was the thing. At that time, no, they didn't have kids. It was the nace that he had kids at that age. It was a thing. But, I mean, whatever it was. Maybe he was sterile. He was whatever it is. And there's such a thing as people who could not have kids. And he could have known that. However he knew it. Whatever it was. There was the science of their times. They had a certain degree of accuracy. I mean, science, you know, nowadays we know everything. And back then, in 50 years, they didn't know anything. And 1,000 years, they didn't know anything. But there's such a thing as science. At any time, there are chachamim who study and determine different things. And there's such a thing as a man who wasn't having children. And there, whatever different factors there were, I don't think that however they knew it and whatever, that was the confidence that they had. It says, according to the, and it's true, there's totally Chazal things, according to the laws of nature, Avraham Avinu was not having kids. And Sarah was not having kids. That was just the way it was. Those were the laws, and that was true. And God was saying, that's true. Your laws of nature, you're correct. You're interpreting properly. Your laws of nature, you're not going to have the kids. You're whatever it is. And that could be the case nowadays. It could be whatever modern, whatever the science is. But there's such a thing. And my point is not so much how you know the stuff. The point is there is such a thing as laws of nature. And the Torah holds there's such a thing as laws of nature. And we're subject to the laws of nature. Laws of nature could be someone's going to get cancer. That's laws of nature. People get cancer. That's just the way it
erectile
is.
Erectile dysfunction.
What?
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, no, whatever.
That's
yeah.
Possible. There's
correct.
There's no way to know what the...
Right, different, whatever the particulars were. Whatever the condition was, we don't know. But either way, there's an idea of laws of nature, which the Rashba is saying is... And so their laws of nature were the instanigus and the stars and whatever it was. But in our laws of nature might be something with the laws of physics and biology and whatever, genetics and whatever it is. And what it's saying, though, is that... In truth, like the Rashba was saying, the stars, whatever, control things. We would say the laws of nature, science controls things, right? But the Rashba was saying, and it's still true today, is that those laws are fixed and immutable, but through a person gaining knowledge and being a tzaddik and being a chacham and whatever it means to be close to God, they could rise above the laws of nature. And they could be subject to a different fate. They could have kids, even if, according to the normal laws, they wouldn't be able to have kids. They could have different, I mean, there could be nisim, there could be regular ashkacha, they could, whatever the case may be, different things can happen to a person. There's an idea of schar v'onesh. There's an idea of hashkacha v'ashkacha pratis, which means the degree to which a person does approach God and does relate to the source of the laws of nature. So they could transcend the laws of nature. And the laws which relate to them... See, insofar as a person is totally like a physical being, totally lives like an animal. Just take a regular person who lives totally like an animal. So an animal is totally determined by the laws of nature. Okay, what's going to happen to an animal? Could be that if you had a sophisticated machine that would compute all the laws of nature, you know what's going to happen to an animal. And insofar as man is living like an animal, then that's the same thing. Okay, but once, insofar as man rises above his physical nature and he gains knowledge and he approaches God, the source of the non-physical being, the source of the laws of nature, so they transcend, they become a different type of an existence. And insofar they transcend the physical. And insofar as that's the case, then the ordinary laws would not relate to them. like, so to speak, like, for instance, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is an extreme example, didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, on our Sinai. Again, no, Moshe Rabbeinu was a class by himself, and no one's, you know, not to be compared to anyone. But Avraham Avinu had kids, and Sarah had kids. And, but the idea is because the laws of nature are not absolute. A scientist holds they are absolute. The laws of nature, the universe is the laws of nature, eternal, fixed laws, period. And there's no way to break them. They're unbreakable. But the Torah holds that God is an Adon. And this is what he's going to get to. But God is supreme. The laws of nature are God's will. That there should be laws and that the universe runs by laws. But it's also God's will that a person who rises above his physical nature and approaches God and is an Oved Hashem, gains knowledge, should be not subject to those laws. And those laws should be upheld. For instance, you see Kriyas Yam Suf, laws of nature are that the water flows, but it is God's will. The laws of nature are simply reflections of God's will. And the same God who created the laws of nature can suspend the laws of nature. Because God is the Adon, he's the master above all the laws. So the laws are not supreme.
What? Kriyas Yam Suf was an ace.
Correct. Kriyas Yam Suf was an ace.
So you're saying that when Abraham was given a child, even though his mazalot or his science of the time was not, that he was not supposed to have kids, that was an ace?
Yes.
I think called an ace, isn't it?
I think it's called an ace. I mean, I don't think you're saying the science was wrong. I mean, either you say the science was right or the science was wrong. If the science was wrong, then big deal. So the science was wrong. That doesn't show anything. It doesn't show, you know, so then just they made a mistake. They just miscalculated. I think it means it really wasn't. And there was an ace. Yeah, I mean, whatever the ace, whatever an ace means. I mean, it could mean he had a disease and he was cured of the disease. Is that an ace? I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe an ace nister. Maybe. There are different varying degrees of what an ace means. You know, there could be an ace nister, an ace nigla,
like
whatever.
If you imagine, like, an ace of caliber.
True. But it was to the point that, I mean, also we'll get to this, but it was to the point that it was moving. It was to the point that Avinu had a condition. It was known that he was not having kids, and something happened. Something happened. It wasn't just, oops, we miscalculated. That wouldn't do anything. Well, the point was, I mean, we'll get to this, but he's going to get to the fact that this was meant to be as a demonstration to people,
right,
that God is an Adon. Let me shoot a few more, two, three more lines, just because he ties into Adon. I'm throwing this thing, but this is his point. Yalkin karo Avraham l'Kadosh Baruch Hu Adon. That's why God Avraham called him an Adon. Shemitoch kach. Because through calling him that, no delan she doro hachachamim chachmasatz then nignos, that through this, through calling him that, it will be known to the chachamim in his time, these astrologers who are the chachamim of the time, ki yesh adon aleihem levatel kocham, that there is a master above them to be mevatel, to negate their power. Venu de shehu ha'adon ha'mashkiach ha'yachal, and so that it will be known that God is the master who has sovereignty and he is able to totally control everything. There's no strength, there's no real strength to someone who has a higher being who could contradict their strength. In other words, they thought the strength was in these astronomers, in the stars. But it turns out if the stars have a higher being, God, who is an Adon over them, who could just totally knock them out, then they're not really strong. Then the stars are merely a particular of God's will. So there's no strength to the stars. What are you worshiping the stars for? What are the stars? The stars don't have any power. Yeah, they have power as long as God lets them and God wants them to. So then they're really just expressions or vehicles of God carrying out his will. So the idea of God being an Adon is that, yes, there are laws of nature. Yes, there are stars. Yes, there are that stuff. But that stuff is not really an Adon. You may think that that's an Adon. A scientist thinks the laws of nature are the master of the world. That is what rules, what reigns the world. That's not true. That God reigns the world. Ordinarily through the laws of nature. But for those who transcend the ordinary physical existence and gain approach God, then it's his will that they are subject to different laws and they could have kids. And this was the message which Avraham Avinu, through the fact that he did, that God showed him, he took him above the stars and showed him that, you know, he says, look, you could rise up, out of your natural fate. God was making a clear demonstration which Avraham took as a sign, I should teach this to people. and God, and he called God an Adon, showed the people, hey guys, listen to this. You guys know from your astronomy, that astrology, that this is not, I'm a guy who's not having kids. Everyone knows that, but check it out. You know, check it out. And why?
Everybody
There's
knows.
An idea. The idea is that that God is Adon. That's the idea.
That's
what's that?
Everybody knows Avram's personal business. They can't have children. Isn't that
yeah.
like a private thing? Usually?
Well, it depends what it is. If it's a Saninus, we don't know what this Stagninus is, but he's saying is that in this Stagninus, it was known. The Chachamim. The scientists of his time, yeah, maybe he went around to the different scientists. Presumably, if he wasn't having kids, it's something instead of just not only would he daven, he would go to the local doctors or the local astrologer, whatever it was, whatever the science. We're keeping it vague, but let's say in the modern term, yeah, all the doctors,
so
all the
local
scientists,
fertility specialists.
Yeah, right, exactly. So they would know. Everyone knew. They said, "Listen, Avram, sorry, man, it's not happening."
Right.
That was the going prevailing opinion,
right.
And they had clear signs. They all knew this. And now Avram sees God's doing this thing. He's saying, "Adon, guys, check it out. This is what God did.
Right.
This is you guys think this Stagninus is it, and this is everything, and these laws of nature. This is it.
Right.
The world is totally run by these laws and by the stars, and you're worshiping the stars, and you're making idols to these stars because these are it." He says, "These stars, check it out. I just got above these things. There's you're one level too low. The stars, yes, God gave the stars powers, but they're not the supreme power because you see that I've risen above it. If they're a supreme power, there would be no way for me to contradict it. The way I contradict it is because I'm gaining knowledge of this ultimate God who is the source of all this stuff. And therefore, that was the way he would try to convince people and to teach people these ideas. He used it. This God has supplied him with a the Rashba is saying is God supplied him with an argument, with evidence, and the evidence was the way he went about doing it is by calling God Adon. The name was told in the story what his it wasn't just the name, but there was a whole explanation of the name, and there was a story which he was teaching the people. Yes.
Practically, I have a hard time with this concept because.
Okay.
What this is saying to me is that for people who are unable to have children,
yes.
that it's sort of their fault that they still haven't had children.
Because they're not Avraham Avinu.
Not because they're not Avraham Avinu, because there are some actions that they should be taking in order that they should overcome their mazalos, nature, heredity, whatever it is, that they could have children if only they would be rising, transcending their animal nature and becoming... You know, like, I have a hard time with this concept. Like, it's sort of like Ein Somchin Al Hanes, you know, like...
Who's saying about Somchin Al Hanes? We're just saying that a person at
like,
the level of Avraham Avinu, which I would hope that people who don't have kids don't claim to think that they're Avraham Avinu. But someone at the level of Avraham Avinu could transcend, could have kids, even though his laws of nature say that he shouldn't. Doesn't necessarily mean that I would advise a person to be Somech on that, because I don't think we're at such a level. And if a person's offended by saying he's not Avraham Avinu, then, you know, he should be offended. You know, you gotta, you know, he has to be in his place. But that's, like you said, there are levels of Nisim. But there's an idea that a person, to the degree to which a person does grow in their worship of God, is the degree to which they could be subject to hashgacha, and to hashgacha meaning to overcoming to the factors working out in their favor, more than just pure chance. Because the laws of nature are pure chance. That's the laws of nature. They're just chance. They're not. There's no favoritism of tzaddikim or rishonim, good people, bad people, whatever. And the degree to which a person excels in their tzidkus, that's like the concept of chayav onesh. I mean, it may be insulting, but but that's the fact, that there's such a thing as Chayav Onesh, and a person deserves what happens
but,
to them.
You know, it's talking about a long life or a short life, right?
Yes.
So isn't there a concept of Karis that a person's children can die before their time as a punishment for their own actions?
Okay.
So what did the children do to deserve a short life? They didn't do anything.
Okay.
No. So what were the children supposed to do differently to get a longer life? That it was in their mazalos that they had a short life. It was cut off before, you know, Karis, because they were cut off before the time.
So it's a different question. How do you understand that Karis question? They're asking why is Kairos Jastar? That's your question.
But it's part of the larger question of.
Well, how would you understand that prior?
All the things
that
are mentioned as items that could be determined by Mazalos here. It's implying that you can overcome it through action.
It's possible. It's not. The point is, it's not a pep talk for how we could overcome it. It's an idea about God as being the Adon over everything, and that God, that the laws of nature, the idea that you have a genetic whatever, is not the end all of the universe, but it's a particular in God's world.
Yeah, like when I mean, now we can't really like see them, but there probably are like small miracles. So I think it's more that like if you dive in for those miracles and you work for those miracles, then it's possible that it can happen. Doesn't mean that it will. It doesn't mean that it has to. But it's possible that it can. It's not like set. It's not like there aren't miracles.
Right. The laws aren't fixed. Exactly. And that if someone, if doctors, if a person's having a hard time having kids, I would think a good idea to do would be to dive in and to raise a level of perfection. And to say that that's insulting because then if I don't get kids, it means I did something wrong. I mean, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know God's pleasure, how God decides on these, whatever, on these things and what his system is. But we do know that he has the power. He is an Adon over all. And there is a way in which we could rise above to whatever degree is possible within our, again, we don't know the quantities and how it works. But we know our root, there is a root. It's not an end all because a doctor thinks that we have a condition that, can't be cured. That means that it's all over. Maybe it is. Maybe probably it is. Laws of nature it is. Doesn't mean that we can't. Doesn't mean if we do mitzvahs, it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to help. But it does mean that there is possible. And the idea which Avraham Avinu was telling them was not so much to motivate them to teach them methods of overcoming barrenness. Rather, it was to teach them the idea that their system of ultimate reliance on absolute belief in the laws of nature or in the stars is flawed, because that's not really the God. The God is the God above that, and these laws are the laws which God employs. You know, so the main idea is don't believe, don't trust totally. The laws of nature are, yes, they're God's will in general, that's what works. But there is more than that. You know, but it's not, again, there's no cure-all, and there's no easy way to the Imamos, and the, you know, but in general, your average person doesn't have a nace of this caliber happen to them. But there are people who have a hard time having kids, and often end up having kids. Okay. That does happen.
So, it seems clear from this example of Avraham that even though he did consult with doctors or scientists,
yes,
or whoever he had at the time, it was not because he found some fertility specialist to help him that he was able to
Correct.
Have a child.
Correct. On the opposite. Everyone told him it was that. It's all over. In your stars,
right,
it's not in your cards. So that was the prevailing wisdom. And it was true. It was true that within the laws of nature, he was not having kids.
Right.
But he transcended those
laws.
Is it possible
that it was within the laws of the nature of that time, maybe, if Avram, I know this is a crazy question, but if Avram would have been in, 2011, where we have a different science. And
perhaps. Doesn't matter, though. Because either way, he didn't access that.
Right.
So the way he got it was not through some sort of a drug, but it was through rising above the laws. So the laws, based upon the current the conditions at the time,
right,
were that he wasn't having them, and therefore it was sufficient evidence of the idea of Adon, you know. But I think that
it's
the,
interesting because
yeah,
my husband over again, if he gave a lecture on how magic was originally cure of Lovel Dazara, that people used to do these fantastic miracles to try and bring people to do Lovel Dazara,
right,
and even today you have like in the Christian revivalist tents, they have
stuff,
like
right,
faith magic where
for
the
sure,
blind man suddenly can supposedly see.
Yeah.
So he was saying how like the Gemara talks about a case where two people gather to feel the cucumbers magically, and one of them gets punished for it, and the other one doesn't. And what was the difference between the two? So, from a perspective of a magician, he wants to say that the science of the times, how could they possibly have done such a trick?
Right.
So he figured out like what they would have had to do to rig up a whole field full of
right,
cucumbers,
right,
and he demonstrates with like they didn't have the clear nylon string like that he has today.
Yeah.
So they would have had to use horsehair or something similar, which in some cases people would have been able to see that they rigged up a whole field, and then they would be able to get back to the truth, to the reality.
Uh-huh.
But the other person did it in such a way that people would not be able to get back to the truth or the reality, because he went out to the field beforehand and he secretly gathered all the cucumbers.
Right.
So they, you know, like cucumbers, when they're on the vine, I guess it grows on a vine, you can't really see them so well from a distance, so you can't tell if they've been picked or not.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them did go out and pick them beforehand, and then he took a blanket off over here, and all of a sudden they're here. You know, like that kind of thing. But if you do something to remove people from the truth and the reality, then that's what's considered worthy of punishment.
Right, right.
So.
Right, right. And Avram was doing the exact opposite.
Right.
He was trying using what happened to him as a method of getting them to prove the true idea.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's interesting. It is interesting because you see apparently what he's saying is prior to this, Avraham's arguments were based upon just logical proofs. You know, he didn't have evidence, so to speak, right? But this gave him evidence, which makes it more, you know, more convincing. His argument a certain appeal, which he didn't previously have. You know, he's, you know, based upon the science of the times. But that's an important idea, and I think it's still an important idea, because it's like there's an interesting idea the way Torah relates to science, is that on the one hand, we embrace science, because that's the Chachmas Hashem, and that's the world that God created, and we hold by it. It's not, we don't believe that, you know, every single thing is a miracle. And every single thing is just like, because then there's no laws, there's no chachma. I mean, we see God's chachma through studying the laws that He set up, and the laws, what the mark of a law is that it's fixed and there's a fixed nature to it. If every single second all the laws were being broken by miracles, then there would be no laws and there'd be no chachma. The chachma Hashem is clear, is seen because every single time there's gravity. And that's how we formulate laws, and that's how we see the chachma that God set up. So, in general, the world operates through laws of nature, and that's the laws which God set up. So we don't, like some religions, just totally knock out laws of nature. Just everything, miracles, God's doing this, God's doing that, everything's God doing stuff. We don't hold that. We hold that God created the world in a way that it runs on its own, so to speak, and there are laws which operate on their own. But, at the same time, that's not everything. That's what a scientist holds. Our scientists may not even hold the God part. It just says, look, there are laws of nature, that's it. That's the reality of the universe is laws of nature. That's what a scientist holds. We recognize the laws, but at the same time we realize that these laws are God's will, that the way the world operates is through those laws. But the difference is that there's such a thing as hashgacha, such a thing as tefillah. If there's laws are absolute, there's no such thing as tefillah. What are you davening? It's not going to do anything. But the whole premise of tefillah and of tshuva and of mitzvahs schar va'onesh is that there's an idea that you have yom hadin. All these things is based on the fact that the laws are not absolutely fixed, but to the degree that we do perfect ourselves is the degree to that we relate to a higher reality whereby those laws don't affect us in the same way, and that's subject to degrees. The degree to which we could transcend those laws. Avram Vinu, you know, the Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever, that is the highest degree. But to each of us on our level, the degree to which we excel in our Avodas Hashem and we perfect ourselves is the degree to which we could, you know, we could be subject to a greater fate, which is, you know, more than just the pure chance, circumchance, which animals are subject to.
Maybe that's why the Torah starts with the creation of the world rather than the first mitzvah,
right?
Because it's going through like this is how God set out the laws of nature.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We're all
it's
subject
true.
To that.
It's true. We relate to God as the Bari Olam,
right?
The creator of the world, right? Not just as one who gave the Torah, but he was first the Bari Olam, then he gave the Torah.
But he created the world for the Torah, so.
Right. Even though there's a Chazal which says, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with that, says he looked at the Torah and created the world.
Right.
Well, that's a good
it's
question.
It's like Elbow Rice over
Alma.
Yeah. And then the first Rashi says, Bishvil Rashis, that the world was created because of the Torah.
Right. Right.
But that can be explained in a different way. It doesn't have to be like he looked
right.
at the Torah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It can be explained like he wanted people to learn Torah. You know?
Right.
It doesn't
have
to be literally
Torah. Right. Anyway, there's no like Muktam Bukhar in God's like in God's sequence of events. I don't think he
really has a prior and an after.
He's
right.
just eternal.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right, but we know in that on this world the earth preceded Torah. Right,
right.
that
in
much,
our
that
perspective,
much, you know,
the
right.
earth preceded the Torah.
Right. Given that the earth is a physical thing, the Torah
but
is
then,
a physical
then
thing.
But then again, the 6 days before creation of man, we don't really know how long those 6 days
right.
were because
right.
there wasn't.
Right.
A
but
man
we do know they were all before yeah. the Torah, though.
Right. We just don't know what before a man's concept
right.
of what
True.
A day was, how
True.
Long each of those
True.
Days was.
True.
And also before the sun and the earth were created, what was a day exactly?
Correct.
The sun and the moon.
Right. Correct.
Well, my freshmen give opinions to those.
What?
My freshmen do give opinions. I think the Gorban says it was actually 24 hours a day.
Gorban says that?
I think one of their sentence
yeah.
of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like it would be, I mean, as much as we can't necessarily test Aharonim, as much as the Rishonim didn't have a science we have now,
right.
so they don't necessarily, they didn't know the
right.
dinosaur bones.
True,
like,
for sure. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
So they could have assumed that
yep.
they had the proof, but they say the same
yeah.
thing.
It's true. It's true.
I just read an amazing Rashi on, so Rashi says that